taking your Bibles, and we're going to Psalms 147. Psalm 147. You remember last week, we were preaching a little bit of a series on praising the Lord. And if you remember, we preached on the bless the Lord, oh my soul, and what?
All
that is in me. Five people thank you. I'll take what I get. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul. All that's within me. And we went through the scripture and we took an inventory of all his benefits. Woo! And I'm going to tell you, we are rich in the Lord and we are blessed beyond measure. The Lord loadeth us daily with benefits. And I do praise God and bless the Lord. And so we took a little bit of evaluation of our praise. And now, today we're looking at the effects of praise from Psalm 147. So let's note here, verse number 1, we'll read down to verse number 7. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek, casting the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp unto our God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of the Holy Word of God. Now we pray now that the Holy Spirit of God might write it upon our hearts. That, Father, we might receive from it instructions in righteousness. We might be comforted. We might be strengthened. Lord, we might be challenged and convicted. That we all be a people, Lord, who are filled with praise for what a God, what a Savior, what a salvation, what a promise has been given to us. And Father, I pray you stir our hearts today, that, Lord, we would be faithful to lift up our voice in praise. And God, pray that you would lead us now by the Spirit into the study of the Word of God. Well, thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Ron and I sing a song that talks about that prayer not only changes things, but prayer changes me. Many times we have experienced that in our life. We go to the Lord in prayer. We pray fervently, but in the process of prayer, we begin to seek the will of God and surrender to the Lord and receive grace. And many times, listen, God ended up changing my prayer. Many times I go to the prayer closet and I ask God to do something, but listen, I spent enough time there, I said, Lord, I'm just going to put my trust for your perfect will to be done. Because we know God makes no mistakes. And God is always doing what is right and good for his children, whether we can perceive it or not. We know that God is good. And God loves us beyond comprehension. And so we know the will of God is designed for our richest and highest blessing. And we put our trust. That's what faith is. It's what it believes. And then, I want you to see today, I believe the same thing in life. I believe that prayer changes things. God inhabits the prayers of Israel, the Bible said. And whenever there's praising, I believe it moves the hand of God. And listen, blesses and glorifies his name. And God inhabits that praise. And I also believe, that prayer changes me. Praise changes. I really believe that if I will stop for just a little bit and begin to take inventory through that week and begin to praise the Lord, I believe that's an impact upon me and my life. My thoughts, my attitude, listen, my outlook on things, my perspective, praise changes me. Now, I grew up, like maybe some of y'all, in a very formalistic atmosphere of religious worship. And somehow, I don't know how it is that people acquaint deadness with reverence. I don't know where we get that. from Catholicism. And when you pray, you have to sing the prayer, Our Father, which is. And we have to call on God of Abraham. Nonetheless, I grew up with that, and yet when I began to read the Psalms, I said, you know, wait a minute, it's not mentioned up. Okay. And so as I read the Psalms, I read over and over. I didn't count it. But hundreds of times the Bible said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, if you can't praise the Lord in church, where are you supposed to praise the Lord? Well, the truth is we praise him everywhere. But if I can praise him on the street corner, shouldn't I praise him in church?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you were timid about praising God, listen, I understand you get out among the heathen. I understand you're a little bit timid, you kind of mumble and praise the Lord. We're here together, and as far as I know, I believe everybody in this building confesses to be saved, love the Lord Jesus. We're with the family, right?
Amen.
And we gather here, listen, not for a political meeting, thank God. We came here to do what? We came for the purpose of worshiping God. Are y'all with me today?
Yes. Yes.
And so, shouldn't there be a liberty and freedom to praise God in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
And so I get reading. And then I see things, and I'm just a teenager, and I'm reading this, and I'm reading those all, and all of a sudden I run across this word. Shout praise unto the Lord. Let's read that again. Is that what it said? It said, shout praise unto God. Only shouting I heard when I got in trouble. But man, I can shout when it's good. I can shout when I'm blessed. And so when I began to read these things and listen, compare scripture, I thought, now, that's something right. Just something. It's not following what I see in the scriptures. Listen, thank God as I begin to look at these things and realize, you know what? I can be a saved child of God in heaven. And you know what? I found out I could say, Amen. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Amen. Now I found out I could say, praise the Lord. Everybody good? And then, you know what? I can go, Hallelujah! Woo! Are those strange words here in the house of God? You read them all through the Bible. Really? I mean, you read them all through the Scripture. Listen, as you and I think about this, most of the Scripture, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. You know, that's a command, not a suggestion. The Bible says, let everything that have breath,
praise the Lord.
Oliver Green said, if you're not going to praise the Lord, just go ahead and die then. Yeah, breath, praise the Lord. Okay. He says, praise ye the Lord. And he said, for it is what? It's good. So that way, I did bad for me. Is it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'll do something wrong. I'll do something bad if I look at it. Okay. I'm going to tell you what. I have, this is not supposed to be humorous, but I guess maybe a little bit is. I have heard an ugly word. I remember, I don't think anybody would. But I have seen people praise the Lord. Somebody look around. Who is that? Okay. My first thought, if you're new to that, somebody praise the Lord, my first thought is, hey, they must have got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who did that? Hallelujah. Got saved. Listen, praise the Lord. I want you to notice several things real simple. First of all, praise of the Lord is character building. Character building. Praise is good. It says right here. He said, for it is good to say praise unto our God. It is pleasant. And so, listen, it begins, listen, to build a Christian character, godly character. Why? Because praise is good. Praise is right. Praise is pure. Praise is holy. And praise is the expression of our faith, our joy, our peace, the righteousness that God has given us through Christ, of love, hope, salvation. It's an expression of all these things, of all the riches we have in Christ, and that we are a blessed people. Amen. And most of the time, when you begin to praise God and you begin to express an excitement, it's usually over something good. I don't think I've ever been to the mailbox and got an unusual letter that said Internal Revenue Service and went, woo! Listen, just having a good time in the Lord. excited about being saved. I grew up with folk that said they were saved. I'm going to tell you, they ain't too excited about it.
Yeah.
These folk were excited about being saved. And you know what? That began to work on my heart. And I told my friend, I said, I don't know if I've ever enjoyed worshiping God more in my whole life. When there was some light to it.
Yeah.
When there were tears and when there were shouts of joy. And listen, prayer is character building. Elijah called the nation to decision, and you remember he said, now listen, is it Jehovah or is it Baal? Well, I halt you between two opinions. God be God, worship him. Baal, worship him. The Bible said, and they answered him not a word. But, let me tell you something, silence is a statement.
Yes.
It really is. Silence was a statement. It was a statement that they were not going to worship the Lord, or they would have said so. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen, if we have been redeemed by God, listen, there's no room for silence. There's room for rejoicing testimony of his good grace. The Bible says, Ephesians 6, of the praise of the Lord, his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, there are times when our praise is silenced. And there's a time when sin enters the picture and it'll silence your praise. David said this after his sin. He said that he had kept silent. He said, my bones waxed old for night and day. Thy hand was heavy upon me. And he said, but the Lord forgave us my iniquity. And then he began to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God that even though we're unworthy, even though this we struggle with our flesh, even though we have said things we shouldn't have said, we thought things we shouldn't have thought, we have done things we shouldn't have done, but thank God, I know where forgiveness is found. I know that he will have mercy upon me if I come and repent of my sin and call upon the Lord and ask him to wash me clean. Listen, he can restore my rejoicing and my praise. And once again, I can rejoice in the Lord. I don't know where God found you, but I know one thing, you're a sinner like me. But thank God I've been saved. My sins have gone washed away. And thank God today I know, listen, that my sins are washed in the blood. And therefore I can praise his name and I can rejoice. That record's clear. It's gone, thank God. I've been set free from the bondage of the sin and the guilt. Thank God.
Amen.
I've been set free.
Amen.
So, listen, sin sometimes can silence our praise. Sometimes sorrow and suffering can silence our praise. Sometimes we have been through some very deep valleys. The psalmist said, I was done with silence and I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. Remove thy stroke away from me. I'm consumed by the blow of pain. When thou would rebuke the correct man of iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. And surely every man is vanity. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. But thank God you read on and you find out he found a refuge in God. He found there was help in the Lord. He found out that God was a deliverer and God a redeemer. That God was plenteous in mercy and that God was faithful and God filled the Lord with a song and God put hope in his heart. And we may go through those times where, listen, silence has stricken us and where it feels almost guilty to ever smile again. I want to tell you, listen, if you'll come to God and run to him, call upon the Lord, and open your heart to receive from God the strength and the grace and the help you need. God can put a smile back on your face, and God, listen, can cause you to laugh again, and God can give you a shout of praise and rejoice. ministers to our soul. And this is God, and restore your praise and your worship of him. I've shared with you many times when I got the call, my dad had suddenly passed. The Lord had taken him home. And I arrived at Mom there, and Philip was already there. And there we wept. And I'd been there only about 5 to 10 minutes or so. Philip and I were trying to console each other through the loss. And Mom said, "You boys coming here, by that time there was a big crowd." And so Mom said, "You boys coming here, you need to read something." And they pulled us aside in the side room. She said, "Here's your daddy's Bible. Here's his notes. This is what he's going to preach on his way to church today." Had a heart attack on the way to church. All dressed up in a suit, heading out the door, fell at the front porch and died. And she said, "You need to see what he was going to preach, what was on his mind, what would be his last message." And I opened it up. Philip and I looked at it and I read it. And it said this: "I have finished my course. I've run my race. Henceforth, will I have the crown of righteousness." I'm going to tell you, only God can make you shout praises with tears flowing.
That's right.
Oh, listen. Oh, listen. God is able, even in our times of suffering and sorrow, to bring forth praise. Even sometimes with trembling lips and with tear-stained eyes, God can put a praise in your mouth. And God give you reason to rejoice. Oh, listen. He is our refuge. The Bible said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Now listen, they had gone out. You remember we hung our harps upon the willows. And they required of us a song. And listen, as they were being led away captive. And they said, "Hey, sing us the songs of Zion now. We want to hear this." They mocked them. Had required of us a song. They wanted us to sing the great hymn. Day came when they got the news. God moved the heart of the heathen king. Listen, to let them return the homeland and rebuild the, listen, the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible said it was like when it was like a dream come true. Listen, that we realize we can go back home and now restore how the city and reclaim our possessions and what was given us by God as Moses divided the property and we headed as the tribes. We get to go back to the homeland and God will let us go back again and reclaim all that's ours. And so the Bible said, listen, that he filled our mouth with laughter and our tongue was singing how because God showed up and restored to us that which was lost. Thank God he's returned it to us. And listen, you and I realize that we lost paradise because of man's sin. But thank God, it's going to be like a dream come true. We step into glory. And everything lost, listen, has been regained. And we shall know paradise again, and this time for all eternity. And I promise you, there will be singing, and there will be laughter, and there will be shouts of praise because of the great redemption of God. Praise is confessing, praise is cleansing, praise is comforting, praise is correcting. Number two, I want you to see this in our text. He said, "For it's good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." That word comely means attractive, fitting, appropriate. The Bible uses that when the prodigal son returned, when the elder brother got mad at him. Because he went out there and sold his wife and lived, then he'd come back, had a big party, killed a fat cat, put a robe and a ring back on him. And the older brother mad about that. And the father said, "It's meet." That means it's right, it's appropriate, it's fitting for the occasion. He said, because he was lost, now he's found. He was dead, now he's alive. In other words, he's a changed man. God has changed him thoroughly. He's a repentant man, he's a changed man. So it was right to kill that. It was meet. And it's similar to the word here, comely. It means something that's appropriate. Something that's attractive, something that's fitting for a child of God. And you and I, as a child of God, we have our ups and downs, but the truth is, we are bundled in the bundle of life. Thank God we are encompassed by eternal life. We're encompassed by the love of God. And listen, we have his protection, every provision. and we are wrapped up in the bundle of life. And so it is fitting, it is appropriate, if you're a saved child of God, to praise the name of God. You are saved, you are saved, you're supplied, you're secured. You're redeemed, you're rescued, you're ransomed, you're reconciled, you're rewarded. It's appropriate, it's fitting, it's the right thing for a child of God. Blessed be the Lord, eternal salvation, sin forgiven. It is right, it's fitting, it's attractive, it's comely for a child of God to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so, I like the word comely in the sense of being attractive. You know what? There's just something pretty about that glow on the face of somebody who just filled with the riches of God. And listen, it's kind of like they used to say when you saw a pregnant lady and she had that glow, had that pregnant glow about her face. I'm going to tell you, you and I, blessed of God, show up on our countenance.
Amen.
And you know what? Praise is attractive.
Amen.
Okay? It's attractive to the saved children of God. In other words, there's two people that want my attention. One of them is over here. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you none of this, tell you none of that, tell you none of the other. And I don't want the world going. I'm so fed up. Here's somebody over here. Praise the Lord and God good. Hey, I'll see you later. I got to talk to you. Praise is attractive.
Yeah.
It's inspirational. It's a blessing. Now, the heathen, the lost, will do the opposite. Okay, you're over praising God, they're over Lord. I feel more home over here with a complainer. Okay, the bitter person, that's where I'm from, my home here. And so, listen, something attractive, something comely. And I pray. I'm going to tell you something. If you are a saved child of God, praise is in your DNA.
Amen.
You may have trouble getting it to the surface, but it's in your DNA. Amen. You may be one of those who go, but if it's in there somewhere, it's going to have to show up. Thank God, I'm not going to burn in hell.
Amen.
That's what you can do in heaven. But listen, it's in your DNA. You're a child of God. Because you don't deserve a thing. But God has blessed you with an unspeakable gift.
That's right.
A gift so profound, it's beyond comprehension. God has loved you with a love that cannot be comprehended. It's greater than you and I could ever conceive, this kind of love that God has for his child, so undeserving. And so when that ever strikes home and ever hits deep in your heart, listen, I suppose that sometimes I'm a little bit more drawn to the tears of joy than the shouts. But I tell you, whether it's tears or shouts, sometimes it's just got to come out. It's got to come out. There are times, it happened to me on several occasions, Brother Reuben, I'll be in the office, and all of a sudden God gave me something, and I'm going to tell you what. It is richer. It is richer than anything I've ever tasted. It's richer than the cheesecake. And I'll tell you what, I just have to walk out of the room. It's going to take me a while to digest. Wow. Oh, what a truth. Absolutely stunning, amazing. Just incredible, some of the things that God will show you in the Word. And this just overwhelm your soul. That sometimes the cup sooner or later is going to roll over. Sooner or later, at some point, you're going to spill your coffee. And this, if you love the Lord Jesus, it's going to spill over at some point. I mean, somewhere it's in your DNA. Listen, praise is coming. Number three, I'm trying to hurry. Praise is contagious. There's some folks that need to hear you praise God. Okay? It would help them immensely. Okay? And there have been times, listen, when you and I, we got on the wrong side of the bed and didn't feel that good and haven't had a very good day thus far. Man, I tell you, you got a little attitude setting in, and listen, you're sucking on a little bitter juice, and I tell you what, just things are not going good. And listen, somebody comes along and they say, isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Well, your flesh wants to slap. But in your heart, you're convicted. You're convicted. Because all of a sudden you remember, you know what? I'm loved of God. Jesus loved me. He's never going to leave me. He never forsake me. And listen, he's always been faithful and true, and he'll help me. He always has. He will help me. I'll pray on the Lord. You see, praise is contagious. It excites me, it enriches me, it inspires me, it motivates me, it convicts me. You and I, as we rejoice in these things and as we consider, it is the testimony of God's saving grace. The chief testimony of God's saving grace is praise the Lord. Praise God. That's the fundamental, that's the foundation, of all of our blessings, of all of our benefits, of all the grace of God bestowed upon us. The first thing that comes out of my lips is, praise the Lord. God is good. God has blessed me. Bless his holy name. All that's within me. That is the foundation. It's where our testimony begins, with praising God for this grace. Dry, dull, dead makes for a sad testimony. It really does. I'm not saying you're on top of the world every day. I'm not saying that you walk around every day and you're just ready to burst with praise and glory. But I'm going to tell you, we'll make it a habit to do it anyway. And begin our day praising the Lord. With sincerity, you know, not a formal thing. Wake up, get about it, praise the Lord. And I'm talking about with sincerity. Okay, consider what you have in Christ. I believe it'll help us and save us from being dry, dull, and dead. That we might give a powerful testimony. I think sometimes the testimony is really enhanced and enriched by the comingness of praise on the face of God's children. Because we're trying to tell them, you ain't got this. This is what you